Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
I'm excited to be able to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. I'm also excited to be able to launch out this new sermon series. This is a sermon series called Christian to the Core. We're going to call it The Core. It was an inspiration that Pastor Randy received as he was away in Ohio for a week of training with the cabinet and our bishop and the president pro tem. And there are eight principles by which we are going to dive into over the next 2 months. And so I pray that you will join with us. I pray that you will join in to the reading program. There are reading assignments at the ministry tables that you can go through every single day and stay up with the church and what we're reading throughout. And I just want to invite you to that. I can guarantee you that you will be blessed. Just one announcement we have this week. I do want you to be praying. Waymaker Conference is this weekend up at Camp Allegheny. Right now we're pushing between 150 and 200 registrants, and we're excited for that. Mm-hmm. And so if you could partner with us in prayer for a generation that needs to find and know the loving power and the transforming power of Jesus, amen? Mm-hmm. And so that's a ministry that's been launched out of this house. If you could partner in prayer, and if you want to partner with us financially, that's fine. Just come see me. Right now the greatest need is t-shirts. We just need to be able to. We want to provide a t-shirt for the kids to be able to wear throughout the year. And so we're going to do that either way. If you're looking for something, then that would be a way to do that. Okay? Today we're going to be looking at intimacy with God as we open and launch our series called The Core. If you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 33. And I'm going to read from verses 7 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. And Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. And so it was, Moses went outside to the tabernacle, and all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass that when Moses entered the tabernacle, that a pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord spoke with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and they worshiped him, each man at his own tent door. And so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, he would not depart from the tabernacle. Shall we pray? Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, I thank you that we are indeed now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, Lord, we pray that in these moments, Lord, that you would be glorified, that your face would be magnified. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use me. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I pray that we would be transformed, and I pray, Lord, that we would be launched into an intimate relationship and encounter with Jesus, the man in the white robe. We love you, Lord. Take this time. Use it for yourself. Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you this question. Are you a Christian to the core? Are you a Christian to the core? One thing that I'm really excited about in this series is that we are launching from intimacy with God. We're not launching to intimacy with God. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you know that the Lord calls you into an intimate relationship with Him? One of the acronyms I've heard about intimacy is intimacy, right? Intimacy means into me, see, right? That means that there's nothing that is hidden. He wants to have a face-to-face encounter with you, not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day of your life. He wants your heart to have such transformation and such hunger and thirst for Him that you literally live into the decree of praying without ceasing.
Correct.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
One of the quotes in our study this week is that God is looking for a consecrated, a set apart man or woman who will live from. Look at your neighbor and say from. Who will live from an intimate relationship with God. And there's a key word in there. Consecrated. It means set apart. You see, when God calls us, he is actually setting us apart for our kingdom assignment. But when we are consecrated, we are actually coming into agreement with his calling on our life, and we are setting ourselves apart in holiness for the assignment that the Lord has given for us from the foundations of the earth. Calling is one thing, consecration is another. There is no holiness without consecration, and there is no intimacy without holiness. Do you hear me this morning? Jesus said, "Be holy as I am holy." And what has happened on the earth is as we have subscribed to this cheap grace that we believe covers our sin. No, grace is the supernatural power of God, the unmerited favor of God, living in the life of the believer so that you can do what? Overcome sin. The blood of Jesus absolutely covers a multitude of sins. Amen?
Amen.
But I need grace because I'm tired of the stronghold. And so a lot of times we talk about anointing, and where does the anointing come from? It comes from holiness. Are you willing to live for him? Are you willing to look like him? Are you willing to sacrifice like him? Put things of this world aside for him. Holiness is the conduit by which the anointing flows. There needs to be a conduit. Holiness is it. If you are willing to pay the price, he knows he can trust you and he can use you. And if you pay the price, he will draw you unto himself. Jesus said, do what? Remain in me and I will do what? Remain in you.
Right, right.
That's not a mission statement, it's a promise. Holiness creates, holiness consecrates our hearts to him, producing intimacy within a relationship to our God. And so how many of you know this morning? Faith is a mystery. There's a lot of questions that I get on a weekly basis that I have learned it's okay to say, I don't know. Right? And I think we get ourselves in trouble. I'm not promoting Wimber High School. I'm promoting Heather's Tea. All right? So good. I'm getting dried up here. All right? But faith is not only a mystery, so is intimacy. There's a mystery to intimacy. But can I tell you this morning that there is no intimacy void of encounter? I'm going to say that again because someone needs to write that down and put it on your forehead and put it in your phone, because some of us want intimacy, but we don't want encounter with Jesus. Because we know that when we come into encounter with Jesus, that something in us is going to get exposed, right? But here's the thing. He loves us. He already knows before you even encounter him. So just encounter him anyway. You see, our culture has made intimacy a spectator sport. Have we not? I see men and women who are in love with Jesus that are bound and addicted to pornography every single week of my life. What are we doing? We're spectating. We're perceiving. We're watching. We're fans. We're audience members of what the enemy is portraying as intimate relationships upon the earth. We were talking about this in staff meeting this week. Josh says he doesn't know how many times someone comes up to him and says, I just love to watch you worship, right? Mm. I've had the same thing come to you. I just love to watch God use you. You know what? Don't love watching us. Love Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. And let him do his transforming work in you. Yes. Amen? Yes. I don't know, but God's been speaking to me these last couple weeks. Jeremy, there's something different from being... there's a difference between being anointed and in the anointing. Yes. All right? The Lord has anointed you for something.
Right?
He has put his grace on you for something. There's an assignment on the earth that only you can accomplish. All right? And you're going to need his power and his oil and his blessing to do it. But here's the thing. Just because the oil's on you doesn't mean you're in the oil. You need to get into the flow. You need to get into his presence. And then you're not just anointed. Now you're in the anointing. All right? And here, can I just tell you this? Here's the reason I love to preach. Not because I love to hear the sound of my voice. In fact, I hate it. All right? Because something is happening here that you can't see here.
Right.
And it's called intimacy.
That's right.
And for some of you, it's when you sing. And for some of you, it's when you counsel. And for some of you, it's when you lead our committees. And so for some of you, it's whenever you're serving the youth or the children. What are you anointed for?
Yeah.
Get in the anointing.
Come on.
That's right. That's
get in the anointing, amen?
Yes.
Because then you'll know intimacy.
Yeah.
Because then you'll know encounter. Mm. You can't know him unless you see his face.
That's right.
Amen? There's two different levels to this. And this is from the book, two different layers, two different sides of intimacy. The first is friendship and the second is marriage. I think that when we talk about friendship, what we're really talking about is a community, right? You know what? Here's the truth. Like, we have friendship and then we have covenant, right? We have community and then we have what I have with my wife is covenant, don't we?
Yes.
Right? I love you, phileo love. Right? Like brotherly love, right? I'm there for you. I hope I've shown that. I hope I've bared witness to my love for you in my assignment for you as a pastor of this church, in this community, in this region. I love you. But there's something here, right? There's something with Heather that I have that no one else has, and they better not, right? Right? There's something that I have here, and it's called covenant. Right? Because we've encountered one another at a level that supersedes the superficial.
Right.
That's what Jesus is calling us to, church.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, he looks at Peter and he reinstates Peter over breakfast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not in the temple. He doesn't like make him go make sacrifice. He says, come and have breakfast with me, sit with me. And he looks at Peter and he says, hey, Peter, do you love me?
Right.
Why would he do that? He didn't say, Peter, are you sorry? He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's response was phileo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Why are you asking me? Well, then feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And then he got a revelation. Peter got a revelation that if he was ever going to be sustained, anointed, victorious in his calling, amen, that he needed to transition his heart from communal love, brotherly love, to agape love,
yeah.
Covenant love.
That's
amen?
Right.
I'm preaching better than you're responding,
yeah.
Right? You can't accomplish what God has put you on the earth with if you just phileo him.
That's
true.
It will not happen. You will revert back to your flesh. I can guarantee it every time because I've done it. The only way he will be able to sustain you is if you are in covenant with him. Agape love, unconditional, sacrificial. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pure and holy. That's what we're called to. There are four barriers. And you have a four-point sermon. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't be all, you know, I only had 1 point last time, all right? I could take the two that I didn't preach last time and add them to the four.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm going to give you grace. And these are from the study. So, four barriers that we need to break through for intimacy with God. Number one is superficiality. Superficiality. Shallow, hear me, shallow cannot call out to deep. Do you hear that? Shallow cannot call out to deep. Only deep cries out to deep. I just had this image as I was preparing for this point. You know, I'm not very mechanical, and I don't know how to do anything with my hands other than use them to preach, okay? But I know that there were times when I've had to charge someone else's car battery because they're running low, all right? And the first thing my father told me, he warned me, that when you pop the hoods and you pull out the cables, make sure that the positive end is touching the what? Some of you are in trouble if you don't know. The positive end has to go to the positive end, and the negative end to the negative end. Because what will happen is if you crisscross, you won't get the flow and you'll get a spark. Do you want to live in the spark, or do you want to live in the flow?
Wow, that's good.
Come on. Amen?
Yes.
See, that's what happens a lot of times. We come and we get a spark.
Wow.
But I want to live in the flow.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So that I'm so connected to him, that's what's on him gets on me. Yes. Amen?
Yes. That's good.
That's what we want. That's what we desire. That's the deepness. That's the intimacy level of relationship with him. Yes. But here's the thing. I can't cross my wires. Deep calls to deep. Amen? Yes. Deep calls to deep. And here's the thing. You are an image bearer of the Most High God.
Yes.
That is crazy to me. And what does that mean? That means, there's many things that means, but this is what it means for this point. It means that we have the capacity to love and be loved by the definition of love. That's what it means to be an image bearer. You have the capacity, the bandwidth, to receive love and give love by the definition of love. What does John say? He says, God is love.
That's right.
And so you're going to need to know this. If you're going to know God, you're going to need to know how to swim, because it's deep. Deep waters. Isaiah 29:13 says, these people come to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on mere human rules that they have been taught. Lord, forgive us. I want relationship. I want covenant. I want depth. I want flow. There are no kiddie pools in the kingdom of heaven. God didn't call us into the deep water so that we could stand on the shore and splash. Right? Maturity equals depth. It's time to go deeper.
Yes, it is.
Richard Foster has this quote. Superficiality is a curse of our age. The doctrine of instant satisfaction or instant gratification is the primary spiritual problem. And the desperate need today is not for a great number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people.
Mm.
We need depth.
Hallelujah.
Can I just tell you, if you want to see a house of God grow,
yeah.
Dig.
Yeah.
Dig. It's not about lights. It's not about the sound of our worship. They will know when they encounter the true and living God.
Right?
Right? Something's different.
Yes.
Jesus called his first disciples to put out into the deep water. Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, it says, when he had finished speaking, this is the image, is Jesus is getting into their boat, into their circumstances, and he begins to preach his first messages. And it says, he looked at them, and he looked at Simon, and he said, Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for the catch. And Simon looked at him, because he's not Peter yet, and he says, Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught a thing. But since you said so, I will let down my nets. And when they had done so, they caught so much fish that their nets began to break, and they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats. How many boats? Both boats were so full that they began to sink. Here's what happens. Fathers, husbands, when you get intimate and Jesus gets in your boat, what's happening in your boat falls into your wife's boat. Amen? It's the spirit of multiplication. It's not about you. Or just about you. He loves you. But here's the thing. The desired miracle is very much contingent on the depth of the water. Are you willing to go into the deep water? Jesus gets into their boat and he says, you're doing it right. but you have the wrong depth. You're doing it right, church, but you're worried about fog machines and light machines, and you're worried about looking cool and being cultural, but you're not kingdom anymore. You just take those nets and put them into the deep end and watch what happens. There are going to be so much fish that come that it's not only going to satisfy your needs, but it's going to satisfy those who are in relationship with you. That's Jesus, amen? That's Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus and see what happens. See what happens.
Yes, Lord.
The flesh operates in the shallow end. Faith dives into the deep. No more superficial Jesus. No more superficial Christianity, right? We're Christians to the core.
Amen.
We're Christians to the core. Number two is a failure to prioritize. A failure to prioritize. Your heart, hear this. I'm going to go around, but I'm going to land somewhere. Your heart is the object of his affections. But his presence should be the object of your affections. Okay? God desires, this is biblical, he desires your first, hear this, and your best.
Amen.
Why does that, why? Because that proves priority. He wants your first and he wants your best. How can he ask for that? Because he gave his. He gave his first son and he gave his best lamb so that you and I could have fellowship with him. And it begins with the heart. Proverbs 4, chapter, verse 23 says, above all this, guard your heart because everything flows from it. When I say heart, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about your blood pumping muscle. Okay, when I was little and a Nazarene boy, I thought that Jesus lived in my blood pumping muscle. And I'm like, man, what happens? Like, does he just, like, you know what I mean? It's like one of those rides at King's Dominion. No, no. Your heart is your mind and your will and your emotions. And he came to save your soul. That's your soul, is your mind, your thinking, the way you process, your knowledge. He came to transform that. Your will, what is your will? Your priorities, your drive. Right? And your emotions, how you respond, how you love. Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2 says, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with him? Jesus is number one on the list of one. Just end the list there. And if he's not over everything, he's not over anything.
That's right.
He is the focal point. He is the focus point. He is the goal. He is the prize. And intimacy with him must be our priority. Why? Because everything flows from him and to him and through him. What happens when we get this out of order? We start serving two masters. And what does the scripture say about serving two masters? It can't happen. You'll love one and you'll hate the other, right? Anything above God is an idol. I'm going to say that again, young people. Anything above God is an idol. And so let's just go back to Peter. If we were to contrast Peter versus Judas and the rich young ruler and Nicodemus in the beginning, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees, what is the difference? The math must add up. If you want to see transformation in someone's life, what am I talking about here? Fresh conviction produces holy transformation. All right? Conviction is everything. Once you've lost your conviction for Jesus, it's a fast fall from there. All right? What do I mean? I hear this all the time. All the time. They can change. Have you said that about somebody? I just pray that they can change. Well, I want to tell you, in their own flesh, they can't change. But under the blood and with the power of the Holy Spirit, they can absolutely change. And so if you want to have a formula or maybe some sort of idea of how this works, this is how I kind of operate in discernment whenever I'm ministering to someone. If I see this, and here's the formula, is this. Encounter plus conviction equals transformation. All right? Encounter plus conviction equals transformation. And it goes either way. Either way, what happens is we encounter Jesus, right? That's why there's Muslims right now that are having dreams of the man in the white robe.
Right.
Right? And what happens is they've had such an intimate encounter that they're ruined for everything else. Right? The same thing happens with the addict. They've had encounter with heroin. Or they've had encounters with alcoholism. Or they've had encounters with pornography. And what happens is it changes their conviction. Amen? Does this make sense? Encounter plus conviction equals transformation. And so a lot of times if you're mentoring somebody or you're discipling somebody, what you need to do is say, was there an encounter? And do I see a shift in their conviction? Then you'll see transformation. And when you see transformation, you'll see a change in priority.
That's right. Amen.
If you heard me, say, uh-huh. Okay. Because I think what a lot of times is we think that we're going to pray them into conviction. Pray them into encounter.
Yes.
Because they can't have a conviction about something they haven't experienced.
Right.
And if they do have a conviction about something they've experienced, it's probably the spirit of religion. They're probably just following the rules. And yes, there are rules, but they're for our protection and our preservation. We are here for relationship.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not running out on her, ever, because I've encountered her. And what it's done within me is created a conviction that we are one flesh, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Right? And so then what's happened is there's transformation. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
And it's the same this way, vertically. There must be encounter, but there also must be a shift in our conviction if we're going to see a transformation in our priorities. Number three. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm doing good.
Yes.
I'm doing good. Information over intimacy. All right? This has happened in the church for generations upon generations, even pre-Jesus, this was an issue. All right? Knowing more doesn't equal knowing him.
Right.
Yeah.
All right? Knowing more does not equal knowing him. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24, it says, yet a time is coming and has now come, and I pray it comes, amen, that true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth. And they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks.
Right.
God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. According to the standards of this world, right? The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, knew more about God than any collective people group on the earth. But they knew so much that they missed him when he stood in front of them in the flesh. If the Spirit of the living God is not your teacher, the Bible will simply be words on a page, void of their transforming power. You're like, I'm reading Scripture. Well, who's your teacher? Maybe you need to get into his presence first. Right? And if you don't need to go into his presence, look at the trees around you, judge the fruit, and say, they know how to get into the presence of God. I'm going to go be discipled by them. Get under. A lot of times there's a spirit working here, and it's either one of two spirits. It's either the spirit of religion, right, where we just puff ourselves up with knowledge, or it's the spirit of God where he fills us up with grace. And knowing his words opens our ears to hear his voice. Amen? So I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm saying read your Bible, but let the Holy Spirit be your teacher.
Right.
Don't just check the box. All right? We want intimacy.
That's right.
We don't want information. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. All right? What does that tell us? Hear this, church. Because some of you think it's the other way around. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The miracle is not in the speaking, the miracle is in the hearing.
Right.
He who has ears, let him hear. Hear. What does hear mean? Agreement. Receiving, right? He who has ears, let him hear. And if I hear, then the appropriate response is amen.
Yes.
Let it be so in me.
Yes.
Right? And here's what happens when you have intimacy with God. You have ears to hear what he is saying, and it's like voice recognition. I remember when I was a little boy, and believe it or not, every time we'd go to Kmart. Anybody remember Kmart?
Yeah.
I love Kmart. They had those little round things that held all the clothes. And in the middle of them, they had what I thought was a seat. It's the truth. I tend to wonder, Lord, I feel it, right? I tend to wonder. And I remember I'd be with my mama and I'd look over and I'd be like, it'd be fun to get in there. And she's shopping, I'm just walking over and I'm sitting in the middle and she's hollering for me. And you know, a lot of times I wouldn't come when mama yelled for me, but when daddy yelled for me, voice recognition. Because I knew hand recognition as well. Right? Here's the thing. Not only do I recognize his voice, but I recognize the heart behind the voice.
Right.
There's a lot of times I can get a word, but it's not my word. How do I know it's his word for me? It's my word. I know it's from God if it's seasoned with peace. Mm. Even if it scares the faith out of me, it's seasoned with peace. Mm-hmm. Voice recognition. To know him is to know his heart.
Right.
You could tell me that Heather would say something, or Pastor Randy would say something, or my father would say something, and you could tell me, and I would know if it was true because I know their hearts.
That's true.
I've had relationship with them, fellowship with them. It makes it easier, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He just says, get close to me. Hear my whisper. Number four, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Sin is an assault on the value structure of the kingdom of God. And we have the grace to go on no longer sinning. Amen? Mm-hmm. Romans 6, verses 1 through 2 says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Because we are those who have died to sin. Can I ask you this morning, are you Christian to the core and have you died to sin? Mm-hmm. One thing I love about our faith is we believe in sanctification. It doesn't mean that we're not tempted by sin. It means that we are being perfected by his grace and by his love for us and by our intimate interactions and encounters with him to look like him, love like him, live like him. Romans 6 says this, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our body is, a body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Sin separates us from the Father. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Grace has been poured out on each and every one of us, and grace is the transforming power of God to overcome the grip of sin. We need grace. And he has it in abundance.
Right.
There are two doors of oppression. Some of you live in it. You love Jesus, but you're still oppressed. There's two doors of oppression that keep us out of intimacy with God. Number one is unconfessed sin, agreement with sin, compromises with sin. And number two is unhealed hurts. Mm. If you're not hearing God, you're probably offended. Unforgiveness, abuse, resentment, offenses, they will keep us out. And so within this study, there's this graphic, and I just want to show you this graphic that's on the screen. And here's what I love about this graphic, as it shows here. It begins with intimacy and leads to intimacy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
It begins with intimacy, and it does what? It leads to intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Worship. Bible reading, prayer, service, equal intimacy with God. Here, just real quick, get this. Worship equals giving God all that he deserves.
Right.
He is worthy of it all. Hebrew word for worship is this, kiss. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a good kisser.
Mm. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Number two, Bible reading. The written word of God, holy and complete, giving its authority, right? This isn't like some of it's the word of God. All of it's the word of God. If you want to compromise its authority, you'll compromise its message, and you'll compromise your ability to agree with it and receive from it. He reveals himself to us through his word. Both written and spoken. But here's the thing. If you want to hear his voice, you need to know his written word.
Right.
Because then you'll know his heart. Number three is prayer. I think this is where we lack as a church. Corporately. We need to be houses of prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
Just talk to him. And then be quiet long enough to listen.
Yes.
Intimacy is a fruit of a healthy prayer life. This is the incense of heaven. Prayers go up, and here this grace falls down. Mm-hmm. And number four, service. We give back from what we have freely received. Our time, our gifts, our tithes, our service. Here, listen to this. Service is how we build together. And service is how we prioritize our heart's desires. Mm-hmm. We serve. We serve. I'll say it over and over again until I'm blue in the face. We cannot afford to be Oakland Church of two services, which then would become two churches.
That's true.
Do you hear me? And the only way that's going to change, and the only way that's not going to exist, is if one serves the other. And they're going to hear the same message this morning down there. You can come at 8:30 and be in the nursery. You can come and shake some hands so that you can become familiar with the body of Christ. We are one house, submitted under one name, and the name is Jesus. It's not Pastor Randy. It's not Pastor Jeremy. It's not our council. It's not our bishop. It's Jesus, okay? And what did Jesus do? He washed their feet. And it's time for us to wash each other's feet. Amen?
Amen.
And yeah, it's going to cost you something because intimacy costs time. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If you want to have intimacy with someone, speak their love language.
Right.
Not yours. Done that wrong a couple times. Heather doesn't really like it when I speak my love language to her. She loves it when I speak her love language. Mm-hmm. And what if we did that with one another? We're going to have our worship team come. There's no intimacy void of encounter. There's no intimacy void of encounter. So I want to invite you this morning not to be in a rush, but to rest and to hear His voice. To inventory yourself and say, if others looked at my life, would it equal intimacy with Jesus? But then here's the most important question. If Jesus looked at my life, would He say it's intimacy with Jesus? And all of us can have it. Let's not limit the cross this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we give You this time. Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would glorify Yourself. I thank You, Lord, that there's repentance. And there's fresh breath and there's a fresh start. Father, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we want to be in relationship with You, agape relationship. But some of us are hurting this morning. Some of us are offended. Our circumstances and our relationships have blurred our vision and distracted us from our faith. Father, may You be the focal point. May You be the focus point. Lord, give us the courage to step out and come forward. Give us the courage to go maybe to someone today or tomorrow and ask for forgiveness. We want fellowship with You. We pray these things in Jesus' name and all God's people say.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.